gopi jara ballabha giri bandhani jaya radha madhava kunja bihari gopi jana balava giri banodari yasura nandana braja jannaranjana Yasuranandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Banodari Yasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna tera mana chahiye Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jai ho Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jai Nitya Lila Parvista Asta Tarasutsu CC on His Divine Grace AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prince Guru Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakti Vrindakira Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinatha Shama Kunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Gadadhar Pandit Ki Jai Gaura Premanande All glories to the Assam of devotees All glories to the Assam of devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 9th Chapter, verse number 28. Kridasya Moga Sankalpa Unanabhya Torunute Tat-tat-vishayam-dehi Mani-sam-mahi-madhavam Kredasya-moda-sankalpam Unanabhyo-yato-mute Tat-tat-vishayam-dehi Manisham Mahi Madhava Please chant. Somebody?
Kridasya Moga Sankalpa
students. Kridasi,
as you play,
amoga,
infallible,
sankalpa,
determination,
unani
be,
the spider,
yata,
as much as,
or
nute,
covers,
tata,
so-and-so,
tat
vishayam,
in the subject of all
those.
Dehi,
do let me know.
Manisam,
philosophically.
Mayi,
unto
me.
Madhava,
O
master of all
energies.
Translation.
O
master of all
energies,
please
tell me
philosophically
all about
them.
You play
like a spider
that covers
itself
by its own
energy,
and your
determination
is infallible.
Purport
by Srila
Prabhupada.
By
the inconceivable
energy
of the Lord,
every
creative
element
has its
own potencies,
known
as the potency
of the element,
potency
of the knowledge,
and
potency
of different
actions
and
reactions.
By a
combination of
such potencies
of the Lord,
there is
the manifestation
of
creation,
maintenance,
and
annihilation
in due
course of time,
and by
different
agents
like
Brahma,
Vishnu,
and
Maheshwar.
Brahma
creates,
Vishnu
maintains,
and
Lord Shiva,
Maheshwar,
destroys.
But
all such
agents
and
creative
energies
are
emanations
from the
Lord,
and as
such,
there is
nothing except
the Lord.
For
the one
supreme
source
of different
diversities,
the
exact
example
is
the spider
and
the spider's
web.
The
web
is created
by
the spider,
and
it is maintained
by
the spider.
And
as soon
as
the spider
likes,
the
whole
thing is
wound up
within
the spider.
The
spider
is covered
within
the web.
If
an
insignificant
spider
is so
powerful
as
to act
according
to
its will,
why
can't
the Supreme
Being
act by
His Supreme
will
in
the
creation,
maintenance,
and
destruction
of
the cosmic
manifestations?
By
the grace
of the
Lord,
a devotee
like
Brahma,
or
one
in His
chain
of
disciplic
succession,
can
understand
the
almighty
personality
of Godhead
eternally
engaged
in His
transcendental
pastimes
in
the
region
of
different
energies.
Om
Jnana
Timidam Dasya
Jnananjana
Shilakaya
Chaksur
Unmilitam
Yinatasmai
Sri Guruve
Namaha
Mukam
Karoti
Vachanam
Bhangumlam
Jayati
Girim
Yakripa
Tamaham
Bande Sri
Gurum
Dini Tarino
Vancha
Kapu
Tirubhyascha
Kripa
Sundu
Vahedacha
Patitanam
Pavane
Vyo
Vaishnavi
Vyo
Namo
Namaha
Jaya
Sri Krishna
Chaitanya
Prabhu
Nitananda
Shri
Advaita
Gadadhar,
Shri Vasati,
Gaura
Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare
Krishna,
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 Hare
Hare.
Hare
Rama,
Rama,
Rama.
O
Srimad
Bhagavatam,
I
offer my
respectful
obeisances
unto
you.
By
your
recitation,
one
attains
transcendental
bliss.
because your syllables shower down pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, my only friend, my companion, my wealth, my deliverer, my source of good fortune and bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. The particular verse here has some very interesting Sanskrit words in it. Sometimes in the course of combining different Sanskrit words for the proper presentation of their being repeated, words are put together. My name is such as that. It's Chatura and Atma, and when you put them together instead of two A's, you get one A. So we have here Yata and Urnate. And for those of us that have the misfortune of a mundane Western upbringing, we get the word Thor, which everybody recognizes, but it's actually just a combination in that particular sense. More important in this verse is the word Sankalpa. Those of you that are familiar with different types of homas or different types of vratas, different types of vows and fire ceremonies, one takes a sankalpa at the beginning of that, actually before any devotional activity. Before any devotional activity, one takes a sankalpa, a vow to perform this activity, a vow for the determination to complete this activity. This is the actual translation of sankalpa, determination. I'm reciting this sankalpa, I'm taking this vow so that the determination to complete this particular function, whether it be a homa or a blessing or a puja or whatever it is, a vow, I'm taking a Chaturmasi vow, I'm taking a Kartik, or whatever it is, sankalpa, determination. Because we need determination to execute what it is we want to accomplish. Nothing is achieved just, you know, like that. Determination has to be there. If you want to learn to ride a bicycle, you have to be determined. You have to be focused that I'm going to get on this thing. Okay, I'm going to fall off, I'm going to skin my elbow, I might, you know, have some problem here or there, but my determination is not going to be changed. I'm going to continue doing this. All right, let's put some training wheels on it first so it makes it a little easier. Okay, now you've got that. Okay, keep your determination. We're going to take them off. Don't stay, you know. So like that, even in riding a bicycle, you take a sankalpa. I'm going to learn to do this. You come to your class in the morning. You come to your school, and I'm going to master this particular subject of the day. I'm going to be attentive. I'm going to listen to what is being said. So these are all sankalpas. We see here in the sense of the Bhagavatam, sankalpa has a broader, more devotional meaning, but a sankalpa is a very practical thing. So it's not something foreign to us. So here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is being described as one who has infallible determination. Sometimes in the course of our activities, our day, our life, whatever it might be, we get a little discouraged. I can't do this. I just can't complete this. I'm through. I'm going to walk away from it. Whether it be a task, or whether it be a relationship, or whether it be a commitment to one's goal, infallible determination is necessary to be successful. So in that way, this is a proper name and description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one whose determination is infallible. Now, in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada gives three different sets of threes, which is interesting. He describes the three types of potencies, the potency of an element, the potency of knowledge, and the potency of action and reaction. And then he explains that there are these three are joined and combined with the three processes that we know of creation, of maintenance, and of destruction. Now, creating is it's a challenging task, but it's quite easy to do. You know, you can give anyone a pile of Play-Doh and they can create something. I remember when I was traveling with Indradumna Swami, we were in Barnaul. Barnaul's some far eastern town in Russia. And in that city, when we were speaking in the temple, there was a group of young devotee girls with a little Play-Doh, and they were making all kinds of amazing, like Radha and Krishna, little cows and gopis and everything. And it was this whole layout just out of Play-Doh. So creating something as possible. Take a hammer and nails and a few pieces of odd wood, and somebody can create something out of that. So the process of creation can be done. The process of destruction, that's quite simple. Just turn any five-year-old loose in any area and everything will be destroyed. No disrespect to any of the five-year-olds. So destroying is very easy too, but maintaining, that takes a lot of effort. Maintaining requires constant focus, constant looking over, constant adapting, constant adjustment. Those of us that have been a temple president or a temple manager or ran a particular business or anything of this nature, the maintenance factor is always weighing heavily. So these three aspects of creation are there. Brahma, he's given the task of creating. Shiva, he's given the task of destroying. But Vishnu is given the task of maintaining. And there's a reason for this. As I say, these energies relate to the three modes. Creating is a bit of a passionate nature. Yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this, make that, you know. Destroying, there's a bit of the mode of ignorance. Just get rid of everything. Break it all up, you know. If you come into a place and somebody's gone in there and torn everything, and somebody's like, boy, this is really nonsense. But maintenance is in the mode of goodness. It takes being equipoised. It takes some thought. It takes some managerial skills. So this is why Vishnu has that responsibility. So these three types of existence are there. Now, there's another word in this particular verse other than sankalpa that caught my eye. Unanibi. Unanibi is a multi-syllabled word that's almost a little clumsy when you look at it. And the meaning of that word, if you take it to its English counterpart, I mean technically Latin, but if you take it to its English counterpart, arachnophobia. So arachna, this means spider. And unanibi means spider. So they both have that kind of bulky sound that's not the most pleasant sound that you want to embrace. Just like around here, we're entering it. Boys, can you settle this? Thank you. Just like right now, we're entering into this time where the banana spiders are going to be prominent. Now, those of you that have lived here longer than 5 minutes know what banana spiders are. They love to string their webs between one place and another, and usually a place that you have to walk through, and usually a place that you have to walk through every day to get somewhere. And the banana spider is just doing its thing, putting its web up. But when you walk into that web, two things happen. It wraps around your face, and then unanibi, the spider then begins to crawl on you. Nobody likes it. I don't care how much you're into, oh look, I can put a tarantula in my hand and let it walk up my arm. Great. Have a banana spider crawl across your face. Nobody likes it. So this example given here of the spider simply doing its creation, its maintenance, and its destruction all by itself. Interesting thing about the spider, it spins the silk web from its own body. And its ability to leave a substance on that, once that web goes out of its body and contacts the air, it becomes not solid like this, but it becomes more solid than just a strand of silk. And it has a kind of a sticky covering to it. And what happens is when the fly or the, you know, whatever kind of other insect encounters that, they get caught. And then they can't move so freely, so they start wiggling around. And the more they wiggle around, the more caught up they get. So you'd think, and same thing when you walk into that, oh, it's all over, and it's so, you got to get it off everywhere, and it's hard, and it's stuck in here and there. But the spider can very easily traverse over the spider web without getting caught. So in that sense, the example is given like Lord Vishnu. He's able to engage with those energies, but not get caught up in them. And then when it's time for this to be finished, the spider can, at his own will, retract that. Now the interesting thing, because it's become a little bit stiff from contact with the air, that spider web can't be taken back in like the spider has put it out, so it eats it. And then by eating it, internally it resorts back to its state where it becomes like silk and can be digested out again to make another web. It's a very interesting quality of the spider. So the spider has all three of these qualities being described here. It has the ability to create energy, it has the ability to maintain that energy, and it has the ability to destroy that energy. Therefore, Unanabhi is compared to Lord Vishnu. The spider is compared to Lord Vishnu because it can deal with its own energies in a multitude of ways. And because it is very determined. I have a place out by where my Tulsi and Govardhan are in their garden, and there's a water spigot right on the wall there. And I have four or five banana trees there. And so between the banana trees and that wall right above the spigot, there's this one spider who can't be as big as my baby fingernail that consistently puts a web there so that when I lean down to turn the water on, I'm going to get it in the face. Now, fortunately, it's not a banana spider, but nonetheless. So I have a little stick nearby, and I take that stick and I clear the web away. The next day, guess what? It's back. So, okay, I very politely take that stick and clear it away. The next day, it's back. Determination. Sankalpa. I am going to establish this web. Big wind comes through. Doesn't affect the web. Spray water on the... What? Doesn't affect the web. So this is what we need. And these are the different types of energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, speaking of the energies of the Lord, we have to acknowledge today as being the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit. It's what's called Gadadhar Amavasya. It's technically Vishakha Amavasya because it's the nakshatra of Vishakha. But it's celebrated today. And it's interesting. This is the celebration of, we could easily say, the greatest devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, it's interesting that Mahaprabhu, he appeared on the full moon. And it was a known function. Yet, Gadadhar Pandit, he appeared in the dark moon. It was almost like a hidden appearance. Because Gadadhar Pandit's identity in Krishna Lila and Gaura Lila is very interesting. We've talked about this in the classes many, many times. In Krishna Lila, here's Srimati Radharani. And in Gaura Lila, he appears as Gadadhar Pandit. But he doesn't openly appear in that mood. He appears in that mood in a hidden form. And his pastimes are more quiet in that way. So in that way, even though today also is a big solar, tonight is a big solar eclipse. So solar eclipse means things become hidden, planets become hidden. So there's got to be some auspiciousness to this example of Gadadhar Pandit. Now, Gadadhar Pandit was a constant companion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu since the time of their very childhood. His father's name was Madhava Mishra, and his mother's name was Ratnavati. And his parents had a house just in the same neighborhood as Jagannath Mishra in Sridham Mayapur. And Ratnavati thought of Mother Sachi as her own sister. Just like the little neighborhood I live in, it's got four streets on it. The front and back and two side streets. Very small neighborhood, maybe 40 houses. And there's, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 devotee families in that neighborhood. So, very nice little neighborhood. This was the way it was in Jagannath Mishra's neighborhood. This one lived there, that one lived there. And Gadadhar Pandit's family lived very close, and were very close to Jagannath Mishra and Sachin Mata. In their childhood, as a result of this, the two boys would play together. And sometimes they'd play at Mahaprabhu's house, sometimes, okay, let's have a play date over at Gadadhar Pandit's house, you know, like that. He wasn't Gadadhar Pandit at that time, but... And they also both studied together in school. We have a similar scenario with many of our students. They all live in downtown Alachua, some very close to each other, some going to each other's homes, some in school studying together like this. So this type of a relationship was there, which is significant because in the process of bhakti, in the process of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, there's nothing lacking. Friendships are right here. Playing at each other's house is right here. Studying together in school is right here. So Lord Chaitanya is an example for all of us. Now, age-wise, Gadadhar was a slight bit younger than Nimai Pandit. And they were so attached. Nimai Pandit could not bear to be separated for even a moment. And in the same way, Gadadhar Pandit felt this mood of love and friendship with Nimai Pandit. Vasudeva Ghosh, Thakur, famous songwriter during the time of Mahaprabhu, has written one very, very nice verse. Lord Gaurasundara, who was beyond the purview of the scriptures, beyond the entire Brahman, and above even the Vedas, can never be known by the atheist whose intelligence is dull. I like that. Whose intelligence is dull. Lord Nityananda is his chief, is his eternal self. Lord Chaitanya is Lord Govinda himself, and Pandit Gadadhar is none other than Sri Radha. The divine couple who are present in Sri Chaitanya are a well or a source of rasa. So Vasudeva Ghosh confirms this and sings like this. Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also, there's some very nice praise like this. It's important when we accept some truth that we have some reference of others that have accepted the similar truth. This is the principle of Bhagavad Gita. The explanation is given in the Gita that, you know, Arjuna, maybe he's just saying these things because, you know, he's Krishna's friend and okay, I accept, you're my friend, so whatever you say is fine, no problem. But then Arjuna says, no, that's not it. And then he lists a whole variety of sages that support this point. So in the same way here, we have Vasudeva Ghosh, we have Krishnadas Kaviraj. Krishnadas Kaviraj says the emotions and expressions of love and friendship by Gadadhar Pandit are not possible to describe. So these are all the different personalities that appreciate this position of Gadadhar Pandit. Now, during this early time, we see that Ishwar Puri was present. And we've mentioned this on Gaur Purnima, that Ishwar Puri was residing in Navadvip prior to him relocating to Gaya and then Mahaprabhu going there and taking initiation from him. So during this time, Gadadhar was being tutored by Ishwar Puri on his recent book, Sri Krishna Lilamrita. The qualities of Gadadhar Pandit are given here. And these are very nice qualities. I think it's worth making note of them. He's very serene. Serene is another way of saying peaceful. Wasn't always agitated, and you know. Sometimes when students are sitting, they're not able to sit quietly. We saw this even during Prabhupada's time with all of us young 20-somethings, you know, couldn't sit still for a minute, you know, had been moving this way and that way, and you know, get up and go stand in the back, and nodding off, and Prabhupada would say, go stand in the back of the room, you know, like that. So, but very serene, very peaceful, very patient, very calm, very quiet. He was fond of solitude, and he was very renounced. All the qualities I'm not. Okay. Nimai Pandit, during this time, was actually quite the opposite of Gadadhar, which is suitable. You see them as Radha Krishna, understand them in that way, they have opposite nature. Nimai Pandit was quite precocious, and he would always annoy his fellow students with meaningless, useless questions on the subject of logic. And particularly he would bother Gadadhar Pandit. Now none of these examples, these questions are given, unfortunately. It would be interesting to find out what some of them were. Excuse me. But it mentions that Gadadhar was having none of this, as we might say in our modern vernacular. And so, because of this, he would find it necessary sometimes to keep a distance from Nimai Pandit. As attached as he was, he also just couldn't bear all of this mundane logic questioning that Nimai would put out. So sometimes he would just avoid him altogether. But, as we might also say, Nimai was having none of this. He wasn't letting Gadadhar be by himself. And he would sometimes even chase him down. No, Gadadhar, listen, I have one question. And Gadadhar, oh, please, Nimai, stop with these questions. So one day, Nimai Pandit said to Gadadhar, my Gadadhar, in due course of time, I will become such a great Vaishnava that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva themselves will come to visit my door. Now, the most important quality of a Vaishnava is humility. But here we have Mahaprabhu declaring boldly, I will become a great devotee. Who better to declare this than Mahaprabhu? And declaring it to his eternal associate Gadadhar. Now, during this time, Gadadhar had a very affectionate relationship also with one Mukundata. And whenever the Vaishnavas would come to Navadvip, Mukunda would inform Gadadhar, oh, so-and-so pundit, so-and-so devotee has come, let's go and hear from him. One time, Pundarik Vidhiniti came for some discourse, for some katas, we would say. And Mukunda invited Gadadhar to come along and meet him. He's a very great devotee, very exalted Vaishnava. Pundarik Vidhiniti, he is here in town, he's visiting. You must come and hear from him. You know, sometimes when we get a senior sannyasi or a big personality come, the temple room becomes packed. Everybody comes to hear. Or there'll be a home program and, no, I'm not going. There'll be 500 devotees there. I won't have anywhere to sit. So in this case, Pundarik Vidhiniti was coming. And Mukunda said, Gadadhar, come, let's go. Let's go see him. All right, great devotees here. I'd like to hear from him. Wonderful. So they go to see Pundarik Vidhiniti. When they enter the assembly hall that Pundarik Vidhiniti is speaking in, it was not what Gadadhar expected. Gadadhar himself, remember, he was very renounced, very much in mood of solitude and renunciation. And when he went there, he was thinking, okay, I'm going to see a similar sadhu, a similar great devotee. Pundarik Vidhiniti was dressed in the finest and most expensive of silks with very nice jari borders around the Bhagalabandhi. And he was sitting on a very, very beautiful throne with milk-white silk cushions and bolsters behind him and bolsters on each side. And over the head was an umbrella hanging. Not just an umbrella, a three-tiered umbrella with pearls hanging around the bottom of it. And on this side was one servant fanning him with a chamar. And on this side was one servant fanning him with a peacock fan. And there was a little spittoon here. And he was chewing betel. He wasn't like some of the common people you see in India, spit on the street. He was removing that excess liquid into a golden spittoon. There was a small table to his left, and on that table was a nice jeweled box filled with varieties of sweets. And if all of that wasn't enough, he had a magnificent turban on his head with feathers coming out of it very beautifully. Oh, that wasn't the best. He had a mirror sitting here, and he was continually looking at himself. Can you imagine someone gives the Bhagavatam class and they put a mirror there? I'm doing very well here. Ah, look at that. Oh, yes. I mean, half the class, you get up and walk out. So Gadamer Pandit sees this, and he's shocked. I thought I was seeing the great devotee. This is like a Vishayi. You know, there was that one time in, I believe it was Paris, and Prabhupada was lecturing. There was a big public event, and he was sitting on a beautiful Vyasasam, something elevated like this, and the communist students were raising trouble in the front. Why are you sitting on the big seat? Why are you sitting on the big seat? And Prabhupada said, one who is qualified to speak as Vyas can sit on the big seat. But if you can hear better, I will sit on the floor. So Prabhupada was very humble like that, taking the position as was honorable and suitable, but all right, I'll sit on the floor if it allows you to hear better, no problem. I'm not attached. So in this way, Gadadhar Pandit sees this individual and he thinks, what have I got myself into? Where is the exit door? Do I want to hear from this person? Now, he didn't say a word. Gadadhar Pandit did not speak like this because everyone knows that to criticize a Vaishnava is the most dangerous thing one can do. But in his mind, he thought these things. Now, his good friend Mukunda was such a good friend, Mukunda could tell by looking at him what was going through his brain. So Mukunda, he decided, let me just show Gadadhar something here. So he recited a particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna's pastimes. And Pundarik Vidyaniti went into total ecstasy. The descriptions are quite lavish in the Chaitanya Bhagavad. He went into total ecstasy to the point where he fainted and fell off of his throne. So this allowed Gadadhar Pandit to see the actual pure level of devotion that Pundarik Vidyaniti had. And realize in his own mind, I've created an offense. A, judging, and B, criticizing this great devotee who obviously is experiencing the highest level of ecstasy. There's only one suitable thing. Only one way for me to remedy this. So he went to Mukunda and said, I would like to accept initiation, diksha, from Pundarik Vidyaniti. And he became Pundarik Vidyaniti's disciple. So this is his disciplic history. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Gaya, when he returned from Gaya, he began to manifest this Krishna prema. We know this pastime after meeting Ishwari Puri, the love of God just began to pour out of him. And in his house, he began to exhibit this whole new mood. And no more was this debating on logic and chasing his classmates down to give useless logical... That was all done. Day and night, Nimai Pandit floated in an ocean of love of Krishna. Now Gadadhar, seeing this, he similarly began to experience, he was so close to Mahaprabhu, he similarly began to experience this mood of love of God. And as a result, from that point forward, he was always by his side. Now there's another reason. Excuse me. There's another reason why he was always by Mahaprabhu's side. One time, in great ecstasy of separation, Mahaprabhu was crying, where is my Lord? Where is my Lord? Where is Krishna? One devotee said, my dear Lord, Krishna is in your heart. There is no problem. Oh, he's in my heart. I will see him then. And he began to claw at his chest. Gadadhar Pandit saw this and went to him and stopped him. My Lord, please calm yourself. Don't hurt yourself like this. Sachimata saw this exchange and she begged Gadadhar, you please always stay with my Nimai and protect him. So this is we might say the internal and external reason why he was always by the side. And there would be many different types of ecstasies that most of these types of ecstasies did not take place like in public function like this. These were activities predominantly being experienced in the home of Srivas. Srivas Angam, as it's called. And many of these Leelas, Mahaprakash Leela, and different types of ecstasies were with an intimate crowd. Gadadhar one day brought some mouth freshener, some pan as it were, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu accepted and he said, Gadadhar, where is that beautiful blackish boy who's dressed in yellow garments? Where is he gone? I cannot see him. And at this he began to cry again. And Gadadhar was a little perplexed. How shall I respond to the Lord? And finally he suggested, you know, my dear Lord, he is always with you. You should always understand that you are never separated from him. So in this way, you know, continually the relationship was one of keeping him very much enthusiastic. Now, one day, Gadadhar Pandit, he heard that Mahaprabhu was going to speak at the home of Suklambar Brahmachari. Suklambar Brahmachari, for those of you who don't know, another very important associate of Mahaprabhu. And so he went to this place where Mahaprabhu was speaking, Suklambar said, he sat down inside. Now, Mahaprabhu arrived outside. He had come a little early because he knew he was coming, you know, maybe he wanted to get a good seat. You know how sometimes there's a program at someone's house, starts at 6, so I'm showing up at 5:45. I don't want to end up sitting, you know, parking way, you know, 2 miles away with 500 or whatever like that. So Gadadhar came a little early, and he was sitting inside. And in the meantime, Mahaprabhu arrived outside and was sitting on the veranda and began to just kind of casually speak to a handful of devotees that were there. And Gadadhar continued listening from inside the house. And in short order, Mahaprabhu became absorbed in the love of God. And Krishna Prema just began to flow very, very, very quickly. And all of the various mellows were there. Now, Gadadhar, also having heard these pastimes from the Lord, could not restrain his own ecstasy. But he didn't want to interrupt what Mahaprabhu said. In his own quiet realm, he was, you know, crying very loudly, but trying to restrict himself and sobbing. And Mahaprabhu inquired, "Oh, I hear someone crying. Who is that crying in the next room?" And they said, "Oh, my dear Lord, that is your Gadadhar." And then Mahaprabhu called him, "Bring him forward." So Gadadhar was brought forward. And Mahaprabhu said, "Gadadhar, you are so pious. You are so virtuous. Since your very childhood, you have been devoted to Krishna. My own life, it has been wasted in grammar and rhetoric and logic. Due to my previous evil activities, I can never get the association of Sri Krishna. Only by your association will I get that association of Sri Krishna." So in this way, Mahaprabhu then embraced Gadadhar. So we see that this intimate relationship between Gadadhar Pandit and Nimai Pandit was very, very deep. Very, very deep. Another time, after roaming through the different streets of Navadvip and Kirtan, Mahaprabhu came to a forested area on the outside of the city and seated himself there for resting after Nam Sankirtan. And sitting there with the other devotees, he began to remember the different pastimes of the Lord in Braj. Mukunda, as we mentioned Mukunda earlier, Mukunda was an expert singer. Many expert singers in Mahaprabhu was Vasudev Dat, Mukunda, like that. So Mukunda, he began to sing songs of the courtship between Radha and Krishna. And these were in a very, very sweet voice. In the meantime, Gadadhar began to collect different flowers from the forest. This just shows how pious the forest around Navadvip were. I have forests across the street from the subdivision I live in, and there's nothing growing there but a bunch of poison ivy. But here we see that there were many different flowers, and he strung those flowers he collected into a garland, and he would place that garland on Mahaprabhu's neck. Just in the same way that Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the floral bowers of Vrindavan, and the gopis singing different songs, and Radha collecting flowers, making garlands, and giving to Krishna. Very, very beautiful songs that Mukunda was singing. And Gaurasundar then took the hand of his dear friend Gadadhar and set him down on the swing next to him. And they began to say, well, I'm sorry, not a swing, that's Radha and Krishna's pastime. Set him down on the dais next to him where he was resting, the base of one tree. And then Advaita Charya, he began to offer arti to Gaur Gadadhar. And then Nityananda seated himself on the right-hand side. And then Sri Vas decorated all of them with garlands. Narhari began to fan them. This is almost like the big Gaur Aarti song that we always sing. And Murari Gupta came and placed sandalwood paste on everyone. And just as our students were learning the Prema Dhwani, Murari Gupta was the one that recited the Prema Dhwani at the end of this Aarti. So these different pastimes are there with Gadadhar Pandit and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're running a little short on time, and there are literally endless stories about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar. I think I have one more I want to mention here. Yeah. This is later pastimes with Mahaprabhu. Many of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu took sannyas and relocated to Jagannath Puri, they stayed in Navadvip, and then they would go once a year for the Rath Yatra festivals and like that to visit. This was not the case with Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit went and lived in Puri with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a matter of fact, he took a vow of Kshetra Sannyas, that he would only live in this one place and serve Toda Gopinath. That was his deity. On one such occasion, at this beautiful temple, very beautiful temple, if you've been there, you know. On one such occasion, Gadadhar heard that Nityananda himself had come to Puri. So he invited him to come and take the prasad of Toda Gopinath. Nityananda accepted this and brought some very especially fine rice that had come from Bengal and made that as his offering to Gopinath. This is very instructive. When we come before the deity, we should offer our obeisances. Now, sometimes we fall into the habit, we just walk in and out. But minimally, we should offer obeisances. Ideally, we should offer some gift to the Lord. Nectar devotion describes this. So Gadadhar Pandit, he cooked this rice very, very nicely, along with various leaves, probably like neem leaves and all, to give it some flavor, and a variety of vegetables that he had grown there in the garden of the temple. And then when everything was offered to Toda Gopinath, at that point, Mahaprabhu appeared. So Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar, all three sat down and took prasad together. You can just imagine the scene, this beautiful courtyard in front of Toda Gopinath, with a beautiful garden on the side with flowers and vegetables and all. And the three Prabhus sitting there taking prasad together, nice banana leaf and some rice and some vegetables, and very joyful mood. This is described in great detail also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So in this way, we can understand some of the different pastimes. Gadadhar Pandit was so dear to his deity, Toda Gopinath, that when he became a little old, it was difficult to reach up. You know, sometimes in dressing the deities, some difficulties of the aging process. Like most of you don't know, but we have this side room over here where we dress the deities. And the pujaris go in, and there's a nice little table that the deities sit on. Many of the devotees have a little wooden chokhi, a little wooden stool they have to sit on because the knees don't bend like they used to. Similarly, it was difficult for Gadadhar Pandit to reach all the way up and put the garland around Toda Gopinath. It was a difficult task for him. He was endeavoring every day with some struggle, you know. Sometimes getting on the altar to dress Radhe Shyam, you have to go on your knees. And so we see that there's cushions on the side so that the knees aren't impacting on the marble. So different arrangements like this. In this case, instead of all those kind of arrangements, Toda Gopinath sat down. Sat down in a full lotus position like this. Previously, the deity was standing. This is known history. And then just to facilitate his dear devotee, he sat down, so the garland pudding was very nice. If someone's sitting there, it's very easy to put a garland on them. If they're very, you know, it's a little hard to reach up there. Sometimes when I'd be traveling with Indradyumna Swami, a little 5-year-old kid, I mean, everybody knows Indradyumna Swami's like 6'3", 6'4", you know, it's quite a, some little 5-year-old kid come to put a garland, you know, how's this going to work? So somebody lifts the child up and he puts the garland on her, Maharaj bends down. So the deity did this for Gadadhar Pandit. So these are some of the unlimited pastimes one can find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and in the Chaitanya Bhagavat about the glories of Gadadhar Pandit and the importance of his relationship to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll finish there for today. Any questions, comments, corrections, additions? No? All right. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Goridas Pandit ki jai. Gaur Vrindavan.